We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Friends, welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. It's a little after 9 o'clock on Tuesday, April 9th. I am Kirk Henderson, joined as always by fellow editor over at Mavs Moneyball, Josh Bow. Josh, what's going on, man?
I'm doing good. I think that was that a 2 hour game?
It was real fast.
I appreciate. Oh my god, only how many free throws were taken? I'm sorry. This is a terrible.
It's okay. Well, in the Boston game, just while you're looking this up, in the Boston game, I'm pretty sure there were 2 free throws taken.
There were not that many. I mean, there were a lot of free throws, 41 total. Like, that's a healthy amount. But, man, this game, maybe not a lot of timeouts because this game got over so quickly that the coaches were like, all right, whatever.
It's all right. Wrap this bad boy the hell up. Yep. The Dallas Mavericks defeated the Charlotte Hornets 130-104 in a game that was over by the end of the first quarter. Is that about right?
Yeah, they were up 36-18. Never got below double digits after that. Got to 11 in the fourth, so Luka had to come back in. But I mean, it was never a threat. I mean, the Mavericks, when it got down to 11, it was like the Mavericks stopped playing. Like they were just trying to get that thing to the finish line.
It's so weird,
I don't think,
man,
they ran play for like the first 5 minutes of the fourth quarter.
We're as daily, or rather per game, content creators, journalists, whatever the fuck you want to call Josh and I over and the team over at Mavs Moneyball, we're at this bizarre place which the play-in has mostly gotten rid of. But as things sort of start to suss themselves out in terms of the seeding for the Western Conference, at a certain point, these games quite literally stop mattering. The Mavericks will secure a top 6 spot tonight. Based on, like, they won, and I want to say if it's like the Suns lose to the Clippers, which sounds right, then like things are locked in place. I've honestly not cared. And you probably should look at me, and this will irritate people who hear this, who are a little, it's not people who are more into it, it's just right now, like I think when we've talked about this in our coverage with what we do over Mavs Moneyball, once we get to the playoffs, we'll turn the volume up to 11 with like everything that we do, because the interest will be through the roof. But right now, everybody in my life gives a shit about the Stars and the Rangers. The Mavericks have done their job, and we're just kind of waiting to see how things work. And I am not particularly interested in some of the Mavericks related conversations going around on the internet. So you watch a game like this one, you see Luka just drive through the Hornets like they didn't even matter. Like, it was such a, when I say disrespectful, Luka was so good, he could have played with one hand I mean, the Mavericks just destroyed the Hornets. Like it was really quite hilarious.
It was. I, you know, guilty as charged. I do not watch Charlotte Hornets basketball when they're not playing the Mavericks. I was unaware that they basically do not play a center anymore. Grant Williams is their starting center for the most part. And then they bring Nick Richards off the bench, but he only played 20 minutes. So That's a lot of time to play. Like not just, you know, Matt, like that's smaller than Maxi.
That's five, real small.
That's really, if Grant Williams is your center, that's real small. And the Mavericks, I mean, credit to the Mavericks, at least they took advantage of it. They creamed them in the paint. They had 58 points in the paint. Gafford was 12 of 12 from the field, 26 points. The Mavericks out rebounded the Hornets 55 to 39. Dallas had 16 offensive rebounds. Four of the five starters had at least seven rebounds. All five had at least two offensive rebounds. I mean, Maxi Kleber had six rebounds in 19 minutes. And when
Maxi Kleber cannot rebound. This is insane. Like, that's how bad they were.
Yeah. I mean, the map. Yeah. So credit to the map. You know, there's nothing really to learn in this game other than they took care of it. You know, I think Mavericks fans are still kind of walk on eggshells when they're playing a bad team because of how awful last season PTSD. Was. Yeah. And that's gone. That's absolutely gone. They haven't lost to a team with a losing record since January 9th. They are now 28-5 against below 500 teams. That's the most wins against the below 500 teams in the Western Conference. They kicked the shit out of these crappy teams. I don't know what else to say. They just take care of their business.
It's lovely. It's fun. For a hardcore fan, it's what you sort of tune in for to a degree in the sense of you want your team to dominate thoroughly from the opening to the closing of the game. Obviously you want some drama now and then, but the Mavericks just, they so thoroughly beat this team. And what's interesting is like, we could get in and, you know, just, I'm going to do it. Cause this is like my recurring bit. Our man PJ, who had been shooting very well, had a complete regression game, and it did not matter one iota to what the Mavericks did offensively. So I'm starting to really get curious. Yeah, he's 0-for-7 from the floor. I'm starting to really get curious what the Mavericks do in the playoffs because, you know, I don't want to look ahead too much, but fuck it. Let's look ahead because I don't like talking about this game is stupid. Like
it looked like a preseason game.
Yeah.
Or it looked like the Globetrotters playing the Generals or whatever. Like
the look at this game where it's like, you start to like, my mind is drifted towards the Clippers more and more. Mm-hmm. And I cannot help but wonder what Tyronn Lue, coach of the Clippers, does to stymie the Mavericks offense. And the Clippers play, if they play Zubats, however you say, I don't want to butcher his name, then the Mavericks are going to absolutely destroy.
Yes.
There's just, that's the end. Like Luka kills him. If they go small, I think Kidd will be very tempted to play Maxi Kleber a lot. And I'm going to be really curious to see how that works out because if you're playing Kleber a lot, then you need PJ Washington to play a marginally effective offensive game. Like he's got to do something from the floor. You can't have two non-scorers on the floor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that statement qualifies even if Gafford or Lively are on the floor. I mean, like,
sure, but I mean, Gafford at least gives you that rim threat where you're doing something. Like Maxi is his 10 points tonight, unless he rolls the clock back, which is entirely possible. If Maxi has one good game, he's going to scare whoever they're playing in the playoffs to death.
He's had a pretty decent week. Like, mm-hmm. I know his numbers don't look great, but like he's moving. Like,
Shot looks good. The bounce, there's a little bounce and a little.
His feet are moving quick.
Yeah. I you know, the Mavericks, I think he's under contract for two more years after this one. The Mavericks just need to put him in cold storage until February every year. Like he can go on like a speaking tour throughout the country, like how to get rich without really trying, something like that, but not play basketball because he's just, he's fragile and that's okay. He's old, relatable, but watching him play, like how he's played the past several games. Like, it's almost like maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7 games now. Now I've gone back to being like, oh yeah, yeah, this is why they play him. This is why they try to keep making it happen.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's the Clippers thing's interesting because we know unless Ty Lue loses his mind, they're gonna go away from the Zubac look pretty early. They did the last time they played, and the Clippers roster, while it's different, it's not structurally that much different. Like, they still don't have like a real power forward, and they don't really have a great backup center. And that's kind of what they were doing. That's kind of how the team was constructed before. Mm-hmm. And once they took Zubac off the floor, like, the Clippers kind of rolled. Like, they won the last 4 out of the last 5 games to win that series. So, and he basically stopped playing after game 3.
Yep.
So that's going to be, how quick do they get rid of it? And then, like you said, is Kidd going to try to exert the Mavericks' advantage with Gafford or Lively and try to beat them up in the paint? Or is he going to match? Because we've seen him do both. We've seen him, I don't know what he's going to do with Kawhi. If Kawhi is healthy, I mean, that comes down to it too. If Kawhi is not playing, they can get away with big ball more, because I think they like Maxey on Kawhi. You could say what you want, but I don't think they feel confident in that matchup, but they feel comfortable of all the other options. Although now with Jones and PJ, they at least have some other things to
throw. Well, so have you been paying okay, let's pull back a little bit even from the potential of a Mavs Clippers series. Is it possible they play anybody else? No. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the standings right now. There's still there's a game and a half ahead for them. If the Suns beat the Clippers tonight, that makes things very interesting. But the Suns and the Clippers, I think, play a home and home series.
They play one more. They play the next game after this one.
So it's like, if the Suns were to win twice, that makes this real weird.
But it's still tough. Mavericks have Mavericks have 3 games left. Mm-hmm. I mean, at what, they'll be a game back if the Clippers lose tonight. Mm-hmm. So they would have to make up 2, because the Clippers have the tiebreaker. So they'd have to make up 2 games in 3. Like, they'd have to go 3-0, and the Clippers would have to go 1-2.
1-2, they play. They have 4 games left.
Oh, okay. So they'd have to win 2 more games than the Clippers to close.
Right. Jazz and the Rockets, who are no longer really playing. Right, that's too bad. So,
yeah, I don't see them moving up. And I don't, I mean, and even if they move up, I mean, they'll play the Clippers will probably be 5.
You so guys I don't are think
that changes I, their matchup. They're only going to play someone besides the Clippers if they fall to 6.
Which I don't. I mean, the Heat, as the chat is telling us, the Heat is in double overtime right now. And if the Mavericks were to lose to a Heat team playing in double overtime, then they're probably actively trying to lose. but I don't think this team has any interest in that. Wild. What a wild thing. I don't want to over talk about a Clippers series then, just because that's pretty much all we're gonna have to talk about until like April 20th or so, I think, is when the playoffs start.
Yeah,
maybe April 21st. So we'll kind of revisit that as things go on.
Go ahead. You want to do your break first?
Yeah, let's just take a quick break, because this won't be the longest show ever. Guys, thanks for joining the stream here live. If you're watching on YouTube, if you could head down and hit the like button while you're there, if you'd consider subscribing to our show. Josh and I try to do these after every single game. At least one of us is here, which he and I were talking earlier this morning about how that might not be the most feasible thing long term. Then again, I don't know what I would do with myself if I wasn't doing this. So, hey, who knows? Those of you who are listening on audio stream, please consider subscribing. If you haven't, please leave a review. That sort of thing is very helpful for us. If you're watching on the video a little later after the show is over, if you would consider leaving a comment, really like reading those comments. I need to get better at replying to them. Workday has just been very, very busy as of late. All right. Now, if you could please consider listening to the ads that Josh and I are going to insert right here, I would appreciate that.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, we're back. What else should we talk about? Because these next few shows just stand the like. It's like I don't like over. There's certain topics I'm just not interested in, like the Luka MVP debate.
I was gonna say, do you want to talk Luka MVP? Because that's
maybe we should talk about like the meta conversation around it. I'm just not particularly interested in that. You know?
Yeah, I'm not that interested in either. If only because this is like a really good year for MVP.
It is.
I understand if Mavericks fans are going to be disappointed if Luka doesn't win because you're a fan, you want your guy to win. That's no big deal. But like if Jokic, say Gilgeous Alexander, Giannis, if any of those three guys win, I don't really care because they're all awesome and they're all having awesome seasons and their teams are either top three or top two in their conference. So like don't really have a problem with it. Like, I know the SGA MVP thing has kind of cooled off a little bit.
I think Luka's going to finish firmly second.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But like, I just don't see like Luka not winning, I don't think is going to be a robbery or anything like that. Like, and really only these four guys really only have a chance because Embiid got hurt. Cause I mean, he was rampaging towards winning that.
But the way he plays and the way his body is made out of, like, he's like a human deck of cards with his health.
Yeah. My thing is, and I said this on Twitter earlier today, I think the thing with MVP, especially in the NBA, I don't have the confidence of other sports to give the opinion or not. But with NBA MVP, more so than any other NBA award, for all NBA, all defense, rookie, all-star, it is such a narrative-driven award. And I think it's because not that many people vote on it. I mean, it's like what? Like it's like 47 to 50 voters for MVP. Not all these guys watch all the games. You can say what you will about what that reflects on the voting pool, but like, let's just be real. Stephen A. Smith is not watching Mavericks games.
Stephen A. Smith said he wants to get, like, he just went on a very positive Kyrie Irving rant about how Kyrie Irving should be comeback player of the year. And it's so obvious that he's not watched them play at all because in the same breath, he just dumps all over Luka. Yeah. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. And I mean, and that comes back to like people, they don't have to like this, but people just have to understand that there are voters and media people that just don't like players that have nothing to do with necessarily or not all to do with their on-court production or wins. people just don't like players. Like it's human nature. We try to find objectivity and be without bias when we're watching this because we want to act like that, you know, all that matters is what's happening on the court. But like we're humans. We like what we like and we don't like what we don't like. And Luka has definitely done some things in the last 4 years to give people that don't have a proclivity to liking him ammo to not like him with how he treats the refs and how he's played defense at times in the past 4 years and the team finishing 11th last season, missing the playoffs entirely. You know, they had a couple of first round exits their first 2 years in the playoffs. Like there's probably these, you know, some media people that are just like, I just don't care for Luka. I don't like his personality. I don't like how he talks to the refs. I don't like his game. I think he holds the ball too much. All that stuff, which, you know, you can come right back and be like, well, the numbers say this and this, but they don't care. And I know you want people to care, but like the NBA is sports, but it's also entertainment and theater. And like, I just can't get too bothered about it as long as it's not veering into like really dumb or like bigoted or hatred stuff. You know, as long as it's not leaning towards that, but
right.
I just think like, he's just going to have to have a full season where nothing goes wrong. Like they have to start well, be a top four seed in the West, play well, and I think he'll be okay.
While Jokic is still playing, that's absolutely right. Like he's being held. Every NBA MVP is a season unto itself. It's the way it is, and he's gonna have to do something from start to finish in things that are outside of his control. Like, you know, if we were talking about health, more team health, Luka would be the MVP. He just would. The problem is that the guys above him are also playing excellently, and that's not a factor for them. So,
yeah,
just the way it goes.
Like, LeBron won MVP in 2009, 2010, then 2012, 2013. What happened in 2011?
Yeah.
He joined the Heat, and everyone hated him. Mm-hmm. Like, his play did not drop off. The Heat won 58 games. Yeah. He was just as good as he was in those other MVP seasons. No one liked him. No one liked him after the decision. That's why he didn't win MVP. He finished third that year. Like, he didn't even finish second. He finished third. Like, that's just part of it. And it, you know, if you hate it, I understand. It sucks. But it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's like the way the world works. We're not going to change it. Like that. People vote with their gut and with their heart sometimes over their brain.
One of the things I'm actually surprised about is that the Mavericks tanking last season hasn't played more into the discussion about Luka and MVP.
I think that's because I hope those people realized how ridiculous.
Oh, I mean, conversation was. It's so fucking stupid. It hurts because it's like he was forced out of games and was pissed as hell. Like how you hold that against him is beyond me. But that's what people do. People are, you know, make rationalizations, and it's just sort of the way it goes. I mean, I for one, you know, one of my Thunder fans friends said to me today, he's like, could you ask Mavs fans to stop being so weird about SGA? Which I would actually agree with. I have SGA in fantasy basketball, and that's one way to understand just how unbelievable his season has been. I mean, it's been a fun debate right up until it's not fun. And I earnestly don't care enough right now relative to what I want for the Mavericks. Like if the Mavericks were a top three seed and projected to be a true finals contender, I would be arguing through all the time about this, but they're swinging up from the fifth seed. They had some bad things work against them. The team wasn't very good for 40 games, you know, and Luka is what it is. Luka just didn't. There's a lot you could say about Luka with regards to that. I mean, his numbers were obviously amazing, but when you get to an MVP, you kind of start nitpicking and, you know, maybe Tim Bontemps actually offered to come on the show, and maybe I'll talk to him about this sometime before MVP voting comes out. But it's just the way it goes. And my entire year, I think if we were to go back and look at like season preview stuff, my goal was for the Mavericks to get out of the first round. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, no.
And right now, I mean, the way I feel, I feel like the Mavericks could beat any team in the league in seven games. I don't think they're title favorites. That's not what I mean. But if they play the Clippers, come what may, I'm not fucking scared. I mean, I'm a little scared of Kawhi, but I'm really this has been more than I could have hoped for. after not being in the playoffs at all last year and tanking.
It's kind of weird though. Have the expectations changed? Like, because that's, you know, I was right there with you. I thought they would finish with 45 wins in the sixth seed. So obviously just getting it into the first round, avoiding the play-in is a big win. But now that they've been so good and the roster has changed so much since the trade deadline, if they lose in first round of the Clippers in six games, does that change how you feel about the season? Because, I mean, like, because of what the circumstances have changed since the trade deadline?
Maybe. Yeah. Because the bill comes due. And when you go all in like this, what they owe down the road starts to stand out.
Kyrie isn't getting any younger.
Nope. They've gotten a great season out of Kyrie.
Really have.
Like this, I think I put something in the long lines of, if the Mavericks are going to make the playoffs, Kyrie Irving would need to play 60 to 65 games. Let's see how many games he's played.
I think he's at 56.
And he's going to play 59.
Yeah.
Because he'll finish here. And it's like, I just can't hope for more from him. I don't know. I don't want to get like too grumpy about it just this yet.
No, I don't want
to. I think the expectations have risen kind of sharply, and for good reason.
Yeah,
because the team is good.
Totally. That's the only reason why they would change.
Cole makes this comment in the chat. He says, you're talking about going all in. Don't the Clippers have a lot more at stake than the Mavericks? Well, yeah, but I don't give a shit about the Clippers. Like, this is, you know what I mean? It's not that I disagree. It's just
not a competition. We're just talking about the Mavericks.
Like, yeah. And Josh and I often do this thing because we've been doing this for so long now, Josh more than I, where it's like our own involvement in this starts to kind of become a thing, because we're like, well, how long can we do this? and it is candidly like directly related to the Mavericks being good. Like if the Mavericks were like, if Luka Doncic were to like consider having a trade, Josh and I would probably get together and maybe not. Like, we might not do this anymore. Yeah. It's like, it's not that we're Luka front runners. It's just, we're old. And like, there's less incentive to keep coming back and grinding it out when you start all over again. And like, that's just sort of the nature of this. And this is going to be, I don't necessarily think the Mavericks are all in. I mean, they still have some things they could do this offseason, but it's just, this has rounded out just like the 21-22 season, where the stars are kind of aligned. Like, they really are. You know, it's like, it's funny. I'm having a 40th birthday party in May, because that's when I turned 40, and I've invited like the whole staff. And when I sent this invitation out to the Mavs Moneyball staff, yeah, I had no consideration for the fact that the Mavericks might still be playing basketball.
I think you said it out when they were like 26 and 23. Like,
yes, there were three games above 500. I was like, fuck, okay, it's just gonna be another one of these. And now it's my wife's playing like a big party. And if the Mavericks are playing that night, we're gonna have to figure something out. I mean, it's great, great problem to have, but it's just,
right.
It's just, this is so odd. And I'm very happy that we're here. Like, this point last year, you and I were coming off of getting fired by our old podcast network, trying to figure out how the hell we were going to keep doing this. And it's just, it's 180 degrees different. Like, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I much prefer this over last season. That's for sure.
Apparently the Clippers are destroying the Suns at this point. What is it? 26-4.
It is. Oh my God. 28-4 now.
Oh.
Well,
yeah. Well, okay. That was like a rangy conversation away from the MVP. And it's like, I just don't worry. I'm just not worried about it. He's gonna make his, what, this will be his fifth straight all NBA first team with a bullet.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I would be curious. It might be worth doing a historical comparison to see what players had gotten five all NBA first teams in their first 6 years ever.
Well, the four out of five is not,
we did this last year.
Yeah, we did this last year. The four out of five is not a long list.
It's like Jordan, George Gervin.
No, it wasn't Jordan.
It wasn't?
It's like Durant, Duncan, some guy I've never heard of.
I remember this. This is a great article you wrote last year.
Well, I actually looked all this up to emphasize
how bad it was that they missed the playoffs.
Yeah, because
it's no big deal. But it's, we're just kind of in Hollywood zone.
Now I'm determined. This is great podcasting. I'm looking up stats.
We're all tired. Thank you. Shout out to the chat for hanging out here. We got a number of folks just to check in after every game. Really grateful that you're here. But Josh, what do you got for us?
So these are the players that have made first team All-NBA three times before the age of 24.
Okay.
Grant, Duncan, and Max Zalofsky.
He's like 1950s kind of guy.
Yeah. Players to get three first teams within their first four seasons. Larry Bird, George Gervin, Tim Duncan.
That was the George Gervin. Okay. So we're going on 5 of 6 years.
Now we're going on 5. Yeah. So, I mean,
We might be truly an unprecedented one.
It might be just Bird and Duncan at that point.
Like, what did LeBron do? What did LeBron do in his first few all?
I don't think LeBron made. When did he make his first team? Probably his third season. I'm
doing a great job here. He's made it a lot, though.
Yeah, he made his first. Yeah, he didn't make his first team till 2006. That was his 2006. Because his first season in the NBA was, I think, 03, 04.
Yeah.
Yeah. So third season. So he missed out on that. He made second team in 2005.
I mean, we're just in such a funky place with him where, like, the contextual discussion around Luka is just baffling.
Yeah, because there's no one's ever been like this.
And I think it was our man Bobby in the chat who said, like, if Luka plays how he's played since All-Star break, and really since the rules changed, the rules were missing, he's going to win MVP. And I agree with that. Yeah. Oh God. All right. Is there anything else we kind of want to hit on?
Because we might be hitting on all this again after Miami
game. Well, Miami game is going to be kind of interesting. We'll be back here. I'm not going to do a secondary live show tonight. There's just not enough to talk about it, and I don't want to beat any dead horses into the ground. Really looking.
You might get some of your friends in trouble if you do another live
show. Oh, I know. I mean, yeah, you guys leave Matt Moore alone. I swear, like, the man watches more basketball than anybody I know. I think that's actually part of the problem, is that he sees so much basketball, and it all, like, he's basically like the guy where it's like, you know, force feeding into his eyes. Yeah.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Yeah. That thing. So it's, I don't know. As it comes to individual MVP voters, I much prefer a person that is willing to put in the work than about 20% of the MVP voters who I am fairly certain don't fucking watch basketball. So
a lot of those,
you know, I mean, cause some of the stuff that's said is so embarrassing. So, you know, it is what it is. The award stuff is fun. I'm really hopeful that Lively makes an all rookie team just for his own edification. Man, we're just in a pretty good spot, man. We're in a pretty good spot. I'm cautiously optimistic. I need them to stop putting Luka in situations. I am so fearful of what happened against, was it the Spurs right before the Utah series when he
strained his calf.
Like, we just got to stop being stupid with regards to this. Like, it's I know he was he triple double chasing? Like, why did he go back in tonight?
Because they cut the lead to 11 in the fourth, and it was looking pretty stinky.
Oh yeah, okay, good reason to go back in. That's right.
And they got it back up.
Okay, so what we'll do is you and I'll do another one of these tomorrow night. And then there's a game Friday. Who do they play Friday?
The Detroit Pistons.
Good God. Nobody is going to, like, could we just put up, like, cardboard cutouts and, like, have me saying curse words and record a 15-minute show?
We could probably pre-record that podcast the day before.
Not because, the Pistons can come out and be it. It's just at that point, like, the game might not matter. I don't know. We'll have more to talk about tomorrow. But then they play the Thunder on Sunday, and that might be just a slap fight. So.
Yep.
Last thing I want to show you before we get out of Dodge, I want to show you one of my own tweets, because that is what good podcasting is all about. I could not help myself with this particular tweet of mine. Let me go here, share screen, and share. Do you see this one here? The perfect MVP body. I do not make the rules. It's for those listening on the audio stream, it's a picture of Luka Doncic that the Mavericks posted where he looks like Josh and I. I can't put that any clearer. Like, this is my fucking body type. This is how I really look coming out of Orange Theory. And then right next to Pat Mahomes after the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, where he does not look svelte. And I just, I Well, normalize chubby MVP voters. That's just what I'm thinking. Anyways, guys, man, the Clippers are up 35-4.
Whoa. All right. Mavericks aren't getting the fourth
seed. We're not getting the fourth seed. Five seed Mavs. All right, guys. This has been Kirk and Josh Bo. Thanks so much for hanging out. We'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good Wednesday, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Bye, guys.